Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, and I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. In chapter 9, we find after Joshua learned of Gibeon's deceit, what happens next is what's most important. Because you can't go back and undo anything that's already been done. Might be able to address it, but you can't undo it. And so the next decision is the most important decision. No matter where you're at in life, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened, whatever your past decisions were, the most important decision at that point is the next decision. And we just got to make sure that we make the right next decision. Make the best decision based upon what can be done and moving forward in the will of God. And that's what we studied last week. I trust that was a help and a blessing. So Joshua, and he couldn't go back and undo the league that he had made with Gibeon, even though Gibeon lied, deceived, and all the different things. He would not use an excuse, but he would be looking to make the best decision. The best decision was found there in chapter 9, verse 27. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood, drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. So Joshua, that's what he had to do. He, no doubt, there's many times we wish we could go back and undo something that we have done, unsay something that we have said, but it's already gone. It's done with. You got to move on. So the most important decision you'll make in life is the next one. That's the one that's still yet to be determined. And so looking to God and making the best out of whatever situation we find ourselves in. So now we find ourselves in chapter 10. So what takes place after that? Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read chapter 10, verse 1, down to verse 10. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Everybody in church tonight? I trust. I mean, you're here. Praise the Lord for most of you. Some of you still home watching via the live stream. I understand that. But when you have the opportunity to be in church, you need to be in church. And so everyone that's here took advantage of the opportunity they had to be here. And now you have to get in, plug in, and open up to what God has for us here this evening. And I believe he's going to speak to us through this passage of Scripture. So Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because of Gibeon, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horam, king of Hebron, and unto Purim, king of Jarmuth, and Japha, king of Lachish, and unto Derbe, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites and the kings king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, and they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church, the opportunity just to study your word and hear it preached. And God, we thank you for this book of Joshua and the man Joshua and how you worked through him and preserved all of the, what you would have us to learn from him and this book of Joshua. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to present the truths that you have for us tonight. I pray that each one would be able to open up their hearts and minds and receive that spiritual help that will strengthen them. Pray that you'd just empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So now Joshua has made the best decision based upon what he could do moving forward. And right after he made that decision, something happens that would complicate life for Israel and for Joshua, and he would have to make the next decision. We've read here in chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, that the king of Jerusalem encouraged four other nations, to decide to unite and attack Gibeon. And so now we have the five nations or the five kings attacking Gibeon, who had at one time been their ally. So we find in verse 6 that Gibeon sends a message to Joshua to come and save them. So of the allies that they had before, since Gibeon broke that treaty with his allies, then now he made this ally with Israel based on lies and deception, but Joshua had to honor that. And so now we find that Gibeon sends a message to Joshua saying that these other kings have come against us, and we need you to hurry up, get up here, and to defend us. Risk your lives to save our lives. Basically what was going on. And then Joshua, without hesitation, Joshua leads Israel to fight their biggest battle ever up to this point to deliver Gibeon, because they would not be taking it one nation at a time or one kingdom at a time. They have now united, and so this is the greatest battle that they would have faced up to this point. Verse 8 through 10, we find that God supports Joshua's decision and gives them his peace concerning what to expect. Now that's what we have here. That's what we looked at. That's what we read. And just where do we make some applications? How is this to affect our thinking, to affect our lives? The biblical principles that God has for us to learn through biblical Old Testament stories and the life of Joshua. That's what we've been doing all along in studying this. And the message I want to preach to you tonight, I believe, is what we get out of this, how the three different decisions, if you will, that was made was the motives for each decision made. And so the message I want to preach tonight is motives make a difference. Motives make a difference. That definition of motive is the reason for the action. The reason for what I say, the reason for what I do, the reasons for the decisions that we make, how we treat people. There's something inside of us that leads us to be kind to some people and not kind to other people. Something inside of us that causes us to smile when we see some people and frown when we see other people. There's something inside of us that would want us to help somebody that was in trouble and maybe even turn away from somebody else that's in trouble. Be willing to give, even sacrifice, certain amount of money to certain things and then nothing at all to other things. Everything in life, those each require decisions from what we're facing. Why do we make the decisions we make? Can I tell you that God knows even more than what we know? God knows us better than we know ourselves, because God is omniscient. You've heard me say before that, well, sometimes I wonder why I do what I do. And there's many times I've asked God, God, help me to know me. Help me to know why I'm thinking this way. Help me to know why I'm feeling this way. Help me to know why. Because the one person that knows me better than I know myself and sees exactly what's taking place in me and why I do what I do, because God does know our motives. And can I tell you, God will judge us according to our motives. Not just in what we do, but why we do what we do. Makes all the difference in the world. Psalms chapter 139. I love what God has given to us through the psalmist in chapter 139. The Bible says in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Sometimes I say things, I wonder, why did I just say that? The Bible says God knows why you said it. He knows what led you to say what you're saying, what you said. He knows what leads you to do what you do. Verse 23, down chapter 139, verse 20, ending this psalm in verse 23 into verse 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Isn't that good? Now go back to our text, because that's exactly what's taking place here. And what decisions are being made, what is taking place with the nation of Israel as they're taking the land that God had promised them and given them to possess. So we find, first of all, Gibeon. Gibeon had been in an alliance with the other inhabitants of Canaan when they heard of Israel and the God of Israel, who was going to give them the land of Canaan and was going to judge Canaan because of their evil ways. And he was going to use Israel to judge them. And at the same time, after he would use Israel to judge them, he would give the land that he had already promised, because he knew what would be taking place, to Israel to possess the land. So Gibeon, they had been in alliance with these other inhabitants of Canaan, and they turned their backs on their allies. Chapter 9, verse 24, gives us their motive for doing that. And God reveals it to us. What was their motive to turn their backs on the alliance they had with the other nations of the land? Well, verse 24. And they answered Joshua, because Joshua wanted to know the very same thing. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, because of that, therefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. Their motive was stated, and their motive, if you will, was self-preservation. People will make decisions that they would never think they'd make for self-preservation. We've heard of cannibalism to stay alive. And you're not there and you think, well, that I would just soon die as to turn to cannibalism to be able to stay alive. And you might say that now, but would you really think that way in that situation? I don't know. I would hope that I would do certain things if I was placed in certain situations that other people are put in, but I don't know until I actually have to face it. So self-preservation, a good reason to lie and deceive, to do whatever we have to do. Self-preservation and the thought, what would best serve me? With no thought of the other five kings, with no thought of the other inhabitants of Canaan, it's just like not having to outrun the bear, just have to outrun the other person with me, with the bear behind us. Self-preservation. Or would you stop and help that guy possibly fight the bear and have a better chance than the guy by himself? But what would that do with me? Would that be what would be best for me? Now, I stated right there, there's no doubt Gibeon made the decision based on self-preservation and what was best for them, not taking into account what was best for everyone else. Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. Can I tell you, that's the mentality that God was overthrowing. That was the mentality of the evil that was taking place in the land of Canaan that God was judging. Philippians in chapter 2, as we look at biblical principles concerning decisions that we make. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if you're going to walk with God and going to have the blessings of God, basically, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's a motivation. Strife, vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's not of the human nature, but that is of the will of God. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Do we stop and consider what our decisions will do in affecting the lives of others? Are we mainly concerned about self-preservation? Are we mainly concerned about what's going to profit me the most? That's exactly what was going on with Gibeon. God's recorded it for us. I mean, it's stated, clearly stated. That is exactly what has taken place. Their motivation to make the decision that they made. And now we find Gibeon, after having deceived Joshua and Israel, under attack. And they're still thinking self-preservation. In chapter 10 and verse 6, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servant, come up to us quickly. Don't care what it's going to cost you, no matter what kind of sacrifice you have to make, and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." No. That's Gibeon's mentality. Joshua would have to face that. And we'll study that in just a minute. But now let's turn to the five kings that attacked Gibeon. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. And chapter 9 reveals to us what Gibeon's mentality was, what their motive was. So now the five kings will have to make a decision. Who do we go after first? And we find that in verse 4, they say, "Come up unto me and help me." This is the leader of Jerusalem here, Adonijah, leading the five kings. "Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." More than a dislike they had for Joshua, now they have a dislike for Gibeon. And their battle is really against Joshua and Israel, because Israel is coming to take the land. Their motive had to be anger and fear of Gibeon joining with Israel, the fear of what it would do in enhancing and strengthening Israel, but more than that, it's the anger that one of our allies has turned their back on us to save themselves. And they had a greater anger and a hatred for Gibeon than they did the true enemy of theirs would have been Israel. So that motive. Can I tell you, as we've studied this, the principle here would be we should not allow either to lead us. How many times are we led by anger to complicate things? How many times we let fear cause us to make decisions that are not the decisions that God would have us to make? We know the Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear. That means the spirit of fear comes from the devil, and it's because of that fear that you'll make decisions and do things that would not be what would be found in the will of God for your life. They would allow this anger and fear to overpower sound wisdom. Now, listen, I'm glad that they did what they did, because they were easier to defeat because of that. But what would have happened if they would have thought about the true enemy would have been Israel, and instead of making the enemy out of Gibeon, even though Gibeon did what they did, why not stay focused on the enemy and attack Israel and hope that, because this is the biggest, the largest number of soldiers, the mightiest soldiers of the land coming together, this would be the biggest battle that Joshua would have faced. Let's take our chances with all of us attacking Israel, not Joshua. And as we attack him, maybe then Gibeon will see they need to return to their loyalty to our cause. Now, we read it and we study it and we think, wow, that would have been the strategic decision. That would have been the wiser decision. But they didn't make that decision because they were allowing anger and fear to control their decisions. The motive was anger. Is there something that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? And if we really study it and look at it, the motive is not the will of God. The motive is anger. Are we doing things or making decisions? And if we look at our lives and we wonder why we're doing this and we ask God to help us, Lord, help me to know me. Help me to see inside of me the way you see inside of me. Would God reveal to us? It's fear. You're letting fear control your life. And if you're letting fear control your life, you're not yielding yourself to my will to accomplish what I have for you to do. And you're not doing it because you're afraid. I don't know. I just said this is biblical principles. I don't know what's going on inside of each one of us and our motives. I don't know. Sometimes I don't even know what motivates me to have certain thoughts. But I know God knows. And when I truly get serious about it and I want to try to fix whatever is going on, God help me to see me as you see me. God help me to understand what's motivating me, and if I need to change the motive behind my life, then so be it. Motive should never be anger. Motive should never be fear. Motive should not even be self-preservation or what benefits me the most. Takes us to Joshua. We find the wrong things. We find the evil motives behind the evil people, the inhabitants of Canaan that God is judging. Amen? That's what's going on here. That you wouldn't expect anything less or more from someone that doesn't know God. But Joshua knew God. So now this nation, the people who had deceived Joshua, lied to Joshua to make a league with them. And they're sending me a letter saying, you got to come quickly, sacrifice whatever, because we're under attack and you promised to help us. We made a league with you. You got to come and deliver us. How could we not think and say to ourselves, I don't have to. You lied, you deceived, you're evil, kill each other. I'm not coming until you're all dead. Yeah. Then my motive would be that of anger, revenge. Yeah. You lied to me, you deceived me, you deserve to die. Should never made a league with you anyway. Now my motives are wrong. Yeah. That's not what Joshua did. As soon as Joshua heard it. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And they sacrificed. Verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. A 3 days journey in one night. Putting their lives on the line for Gibeon? That was not their motive. His motive would not have been Gibeon. His motive would not have been Israel. His motive would have not have been, would not even have been self. Joshua's motive would have been God. Yeah. Joshua's motive was, whatever decision I make, it has to be based upon God's word. It's got to be what's going to please God and further the kingdom of God. I'm not going because of Gibeon. Truth of it is, they deserve, but my motive is not going to be revenge. My decision's been based on God's will. Joshua would take action without hesitation because he would know what would be God's will, and he committed himself to God's will ahead of time. Yeah. See, the right decision for the believer is always what Jesus said in Luke 22, 42, not my will, but thine be done. Wow. Do we take that in consideration? When I'm around certain people, around certain things, have to make decisions on how to treat this person, how to help this person, how whatever it is I'm supposed to do. Is my motive for what I do based upon thy will, not mine? Wow, what a difference that might make. What a difference that might make in a marriage when you get rid of selfish self-preservation. What the difference that would make in a teenager's life. What difference that'll make in church membership? You took my seat, I'll show you. I'll put nails under it. Yeah. I'll put a nail under it and you sit on it and you deserved it. Yeah. The right decision for the believer. Not my will, but thine be done. See, the Bible is the only right way to decide what to do. Because the Bible is God's word. And it reveals God's will. It does. It is. Motives make a difference. God was not going to bless Gibeon. God was not going to bless the five kings. But God would bless Joshua. Because he was motive. His motive for doing what he was doing was based upon God's will. So in that, Joshua's motives brought God's presence, and with God's presence, God's power. Joshua chapter 10, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, after Joshua had made the decision based upon the will of God, not before, but after. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. And the Lord, verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. Now what's going on here? God discomfited them. As God discomfited them, they were the enemy. They were the ones that Joshua was going to battle. God discomfits them. God caused confusion and weakness, made them easily defeated so that there would be no casualties with any of the men of Israel. That's God. That's only God can do what God can do. And he can do the things we can't do. So when we truly have faith in that and believe that, then why do things based on our wills and our selfish desires and our self-preservation? When as long as I have God on my side, who can be against me? And God's on my side when my motives align themselves with his will. Second Corinthians in chapter 3, and we're done. We're close with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now next week we're going to be looking at, and I love this, the miracles of the hailstones and the miracle of God stopping the earth on its axis for 24 hours. It's all associated with what God can do when our motives please him. But that's next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. That's what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth. But our sufficiency is of God. Who is it that we're trying to please? Can I tell you the most important person to consider when making any decisions of life is the person of Christ? Because that's who we represent. God, what is your will? How would you have me to answer and to go forward? Never compromise God's will, but always ready to compromise our wills. Amen. That's important. In any relationship, there has to be some give and take. And when you learn to work that out, you have a better relationship. You realize what matters most to you, and so that's what you're going to ask to give a little bit of give from the other. And then you realize if they do this for me, then we can do this for them. And you work it out. You compromise. And any good relationship, there is personal compromise. That is because most of the time we have a selfish will. And when you think about just wanting what you want and making the other person conform to what you want them to be and do what you want them to do, you don't have a good relationship. But when you learn to compromise and you work on that, you realize what they need, and they need to realize what you need, and you put some priorities in line and you compromise. But the one thing you never do, you never compromise the will of God. Because that's the most important relationship in our lives. And it could be we need to ask God, who sees, who knows us better than we know ourselves. Ask God to help us. see what our true motives are. If they're not what they should be, you can change them. Isn't that a blessing? You can change it and be more of what God wants you to be. If I could have every head bow tonight. Yeah. We find the motives behind the decisions of Gibeon, of the kings, and then of Joshua. And oh, how we need to follow in the footsteps of Joshua. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word and for the example that you give to us of Joshua. And I pray, God, that we would be mindful of why we do what we do. Help us, Lord, to always look to you and change whatever things we need to change to further the cause of Christ. I pray that you'd bless now in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.